coming to you live from the studios of the Clinch County News in Homerville, Georgia. It's the Behind the News podcast with Lynn Robbins and Blake Pittman. Good afternoon and welcome to this week's edition of the Behind the News podcast. I am Blake Pittman, editor of the Atkinson County Citizen, filling in for Lynn Robbins today. He is out under the weather, if you will. And I will be joined momentarily by Laura Nipper. She's going to be kind of filling in, helping me make sure we get everything covered this week. We've got a good show lined up for you today. We're going, first of all, after we have the ad break, we're going to talk to Will Joyce, the EMA director here in Homerville. He's going to give us an update on Hurricane Dorian. We've got some news about qualifying in Clinch and ATCO. We're going to discuss some news that happened with the county commissioners in Eccles County and Lanier County. We're going to talk about area football. We've got some arrests in Lanier and ATCO, and we're going to talk about a couple of other things, you know, just to keep you informed about what we have going on here with AIR publications. We cover the Atkinson County Citizen, the Clinch County News, Lanier County Advocate, and the Eccles County Echo. Before we jump into everything, we need to mention our sponsors, the people that make this podcast possible. We are sponsored by Lutz Brown, Pigler & Manley Insurance Agency here in Homerville. We're also brought to you by the Shack Cafe in Pearson, Roberts Milling Company in Pearson, and the Country Cabin Restaurant in Pearson, Georgia. We're going to hear an ad from one of those right now, and we'll be back in just a second.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
Visit your local insurance folks at Lutz Brown, Pigler & Manley in downtown Homerville, or give them a call at 487-5411. Welcome back to the Behind the News podcast. I am currently being joined here in our studio here at the Clinch County News office by Clinch EMA Director Will Joyce. So Will has an update for us on Hurricane Dorian, which is expected to come through the area the first part of the week. Will, if you don't mind, give us the latest update on this storm.
Well, currently Hurricane Dorian is sitting at a Cat 1 hurricane, Category 1. Meaning that maximum sustained winds at this time is 85 miles per hour. There is the possibility that this storm will intensify to be a Category 3 to a 4 at landfall. Currently, the projected path of the eye, we're looking at roughly the Vero Beach, Palm Bay area down central Florida. They're looking at that being sometime around Monday afternoon, somewhere along in there. We just got through with a briefing with the Weather Service, and we were told that they have some good news and some bad news. The good news was the fact that the storm is going to slow down once it kind of comes on land, which is going to give us time here in Southeast Georgia a little more time to react, to see what it's going to bring to us. The bad news is we're looking at a rainmaker. We're looking at roughly 6 to 8 inches of rain. With the earliest time of arrival being Monday night, somewhere like that. But they're thinking more so towards Tuesday, Wednesday, okay, just due to the slow movement. Because once it comes on land down in central Florida, it's going to have the entire state of Florida to run up. You know, basically it's going to be on I-75 driving up is what it looks like. And possibly, you know, coming that direction and weakening over the course of its travel up through on land, and the big event being rain. And if we do see tropical storm force winds, which they're only getting us at a 25% chance at this time, and a 2% chance for hurricane force winds, if we see those winds, you could have down power lines due to the rain and blowing the trees over on the power lines and knocking out your power. So that's the good thing, is that it's going to slow down and we'll have more time to prepare for it and look at it. The bad news is it's going to be bringing quite a bit of rain. They've even called for 20 inches of rain in some areas. So
yeah, this is going to be one of those that just sits around and soaks the area.
Right. It's very slow moving that they're projecting as it comes upon land.
Now, Will, I know you and I, we talked about this briefly just a second ago, but when people hear the word storm and it's coming through, their first instinct is to run to the store and buy up all the bottled water and all the bread and all the candles and all the battery, and it just kind of causes a little panic. Do you have any advice for the listeners when it comes to that kind of situation?
The biggest thing is just be sensible. You know, let's use common sense when it comes to your needs. You don't want to run out and buy 15 loaves of bread and then only need one loaf of bread, and then you got 14 loaves that's not being used, and it turns up and it spoils, or, you know, so and someone down the road could have used it, but exactly. You bought it all up in a panic. You know, just be sensible. Be mindful of what you really need. You know, the biggest thing is just have some non-perishable food items and some water.
Just in case.
And make sure that you have, you know, prescription medications.
Yeah,
you know, that's one big thing, and make sure your pets are taken care of.
You know, and probably another thing too that people don't think about, if you have elderly people in your life, or, you know, somebody around that are on oxygen, make sure you have, you know, some of those portable oxygen tanks on hand.
That's
just in case of a power outage.
That's right. And those companies will bring out tanks to you. If you call them and say, hey, you know, we got this storm coming, we'd like to have some extra tanks to be on hand, they will do it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and, you know, and two, I would think that, like you said, with it coming up slowly and us having time to prepare, this might be a time to be proactive, especially if they're predicting that we're going to get a lot of rain. You know, make sure your ditches are clear to the best of your knowledge, all the drainage on your property, make sure the water has a clear line. You know, now, granted, if we get enough rain and everything fills up, it's not going to drain off anyways.
Right, but you know, it drains better here than it does in Albany or Atlanta. You know, you got a lot of cement up there. It's kind of hard for the water to soak in. The state has been going out 441 and has been, cleaning out the ditches and stuff. And even the city has been going along, and the county, they're ready to respond to any trees that are down on the roads.
Slash Pine here a couple weeks ago, they had crews out cutting dead trees and stuff back off their lines.
That's right.
So if you see a tree somewhere that they may have missed, you may want to just call them and let them know, we have a tree here, just so they can mark it and get a crew out to take care of it. Now, don't go try to cutting trees down beside power lines yourself, because you're going to end up electrocuting yourself and unnecessarily knocking out power. Just call the right people. Allow them to take care of that. But, you know, go ahead and make preparations now, so when the rain does get here, you'll be better prepared to deal for it. Also, with rain comes wind. So, like we have before, and, you know, last year and the year before, when power goes out, just be patient with the guys that are out away from their families and their children, their wives, and everybody, you know, working to get our power back.
That's right. And don't call 911, tell them that your power out. I mean, they don't have any control over when Slash Pine or Georgia Power is going to come, and Slash Pine and Georgia Power, they already know that the power's out, so there's no need for you to tie up an emergency line to
leave those lines for power's real out. So. Yep. All right, Will, we sure appreciate you coming in. Is there anything else you want to say?
That's it. Just be mindful about, you know, you may have others coming through town. You know, just show them a little hospitality.
That's right.
You know, don't run out and hoard up 50 gallons of milk, you know.
if you might not have power right. to keep cold.
That's right. So.
Now, we will do our best to check with local churches and Red Cross shelters to find out where the locations are going to be open at in the case that they need to be open.
Now, I will say this. The Red Cross, I have spoken with them, and they will not set up a pre-storm shelter here in Clinch County.
Okay.
The reason being is we're not far enough inland for a shelter. Your shelters are going to be more towards the Douglas, Tiffin area. Now, every once in a while, they will set up one in Waycross.
Yeah.
But that's where your pre-storm shelters normally are set up.
Well, you know, some of the local churches may open their fellowship hall just to house people coming
through.
Right. And as soon as we know about those, we will publish them on our Facebook page. And make sure you check out the Clinch EMA Facebook page as well, because they're very good about posting updates on this storm as they get them. They will keep you informed about it. Anything we hear here at the newspaper, we will post on our individual Facebook pages as well to make sure everybody stays updated.
And right now, it's a monitoring game.
Yeah.
You're just watching. You know, trying to see which way, because even the Weather Service, they're not exactly sure. Hurricane Center's not exactly sure which
I mean, it could turn and go back out to the Atlantic and not ever hit anywhere.
They never know with these things. You never know.
Yep.
That's right.
All right, Will, we really appreciate you coming in today, man. Just keep us updated if you hear anything else. We really appreciate Will coming in and giving us that update on Hurricane Dorian. Just make sure, you know, like you said, you are prepared and go ahead and start taking precautions now. And then worst case scenario, it doesn't come through and you're prepared for the next one. Because let's face it, folks, we're at that time of the year when it's hurricane season and these things roll through quite regularly. And even though we don't get hit directly all the time, we oftentimes deal with the rain and the fallout from other places that they have hit. Like I said, make sure you check out our Facebook pages. Some of our newspapers have Twitter pages. If you're on the Twitter, check those out as well. We will post those updates as they become available, and the Clinch EMA page as well. You may want to check your I don't think they have an EMA page for ATCO, but I think Lanier does. But anyways, we'll share those updates on the
Facebook pages. I'm sorry, what is that code? Is it Code Red Alert System?
Yeah, the Code Red Alert System. I'll post the information on that on Facebook. Basically, what Code Red does is it's an emergency alert system. You sign up for it, and you can sign up to receive text alerts, phone alerts, email alerts, what have you. And that way, if there's a severe weather alert, they will actually call your phone and text your phone to notify you, and they will give you the times that it's going to be in effect from, and, you know, just to make sure that you know if you're away from your computer or whatever. I mean, nowadays, most people use their phones for their computers anyways, but just in case you miss one, then those are there. We'll get that up on the Facebook page. In other news, Laura, November 5th is an important day, Selection Day.
It is.
And on the front pages of the Clinch County News and the Atkinson County Citizen, we have stories about qualifying. If you don't mind, I'm going to let you everybody knows the news already because he's posted on Facebook, but go ahead and fill us in on the qualifying for Clinch County.
Sure. So we have several different things going on. In Fargo, the mayor has resigned, and that's John Bappy Griffiths, has resigned as mayor, and instead he's decided to run for the District 4 Fargo City Council seat that was previously held by his father. Let's see, Dale Smith qualified to run against Griffiths, and then according to the Fargo City Clerk, Lisa Johnson, the Fargo City Council was meeting on Monday night and likely would declare the mayor's seat vacant, and that'll call for a special election. And other Fargo City Council seat for re-election is incumbent Clifford Wells, and he qualified without opposition for that District 2 seat. In Homerville, some exciting news for us was that Lynn Robbins, our leader, has qualified for the post 4 seat on City Council that was previously held by J.E. Witherspoon, and he decided not to run again this year. So Lynn was the only one who ran for that seat. So, of course, he's taken Mr. Witherspoon's spot. But the incumbent, Willie Hardy, for post 3 is being challenged by Carlos Whitley for that seat. And so we're going to see some fun stuff going on there. And then Argyle actually has several people qualifying for seats there. It was pretty big day for them.
Yeah, now the thing to mention about the Argyle election is they don't do that by post or districts, Laura. They do that what's called, they do that in Pearson too, and it's voted on at large. If they have 3 seats open and they have 4 people qualified, then the top 3 vote getters will take those seats.
Okay.
Just for clarification.
I appreciate you clarifying that. So for those seats, and Kim, the incumbent Lee Rudd, Otis Fleming, and Ann Grady all qualified for those seats last week. Mitchell Lane and Delois King also qualified, and then incumbent Glenda Jordan chose not to seek re-election. And so, like you were saying, those top 4 vote getters among the 5 candidates will be the ones who are on. And then Miss Kay Riley, the mayor of Argyle, qualified without opposition. In DuPont, Mayor Jimmy Rawls and all 4 council members who are Catherine Register, Brent Westmoreland, Tommy Davis, and Jane Lee all qualified for re-election without opposition. So they'll serve another 4 years. And then we'll let everybody kind of know what's going on with the mayor's seat in Fargo as soon as we have that information available to us.
Yeah, I'm sure Lynn will dig that out of the city council down there. Now, in ATCO, they have 3 city council seats that are up for grabs now, currently held by Tony Williams, Ricky Thomas, and Jason Joyner. Now, here's the funny part. They all qualified. Jason and Ricky qualified on time. Tony did not. Tony thought that he had until 5 o'clock Friday afternoon, and it cut off at lunch. So Tony is running, Tony Williams, Antonio Tony Williams, everybody calls him Tony. He's running as a write-in candidate. We had to run a legal in the paper, this our public notice this week, and affidavit and all that good stuff. But he is running. He will be on the ballot as a write-in candidate. Now, new to the scene in Pearson, we have Dawn Youngblood Garcia, that's Cuckoo Garcia's wife, and Richard Wade Carver, who is our neighbor over there. He lives across the road from the news office. They are going to be running for those three seats. Now, like I just mentioned, Pearson is at large as well in the city. They don't run by. They're identified by post, but they don't run by post. It's I don't understand exactly. But some races in Pearson, they'll run them by post. They'll qualify and campaign by post. I don't understand. But anyway, this election's at large. They decide they're going to be at large this go round. Now, in the city of Willacoochee, the council seats that were held by Khalees Shalott and George Myers are up for re-election as well, but both of them qualified uncontested. The only contested race we're going to have in Willacoochee is for mayor. Sammy Newsom, he qualified for re-election, but he will be challenged by Dennis Polk, a local resident of Willacoochee. Now, the general election is Tuesday, November 5th, and I think polls open at 7 that morning. They're open until 7 that night, and they will be, you know, there'll be a poll in Argyle, there'll be a poll in Homerville, there'll be one in Fargo, one in DuPont, you know, there'll be one in Pearson, one in Willacoochee. So, I didn't see anything, like I said, Lynn's out, so we're just gliding through this today, but he didn't have anything on the front page about Lanier, and I'm sure he'll be in next week's.
That's right.
Advocate. So y'all check that out. As soon as we have that information, we will put it on there. Now, in other news, while we're on the subject of Lanier County, they had a county commissioner's meeting last week, and they're getting prepared for the season. Good gracious, the census that's coming up in 2020. Now, according to Thad Wright, the guy that's traveling around with the census giving these talks, in Lanier County alone, he estimated 65% of the Lanier County was not properly counted in 2010, costing the city or the county approximately $16 million. Per 1,000 people missed. That's a lot of money. They discuss a lot of other stuff in there. To get you a newspaper, check that out. We're going to take a quick break here from one of our sponsors, and we will be right back with some more news.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Roberts Mill & Company, your local feed and seed supplier on West Albany Avenue in Pearson, Georgia. It is also brought to you by The Shack Cafe, located at 74 West Albany Avenue in Pearson. The Shack is open from Monday through Saturday, 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. They have a hot bar for breakfast and lunch, as well as burgers, fish, chicken, and steak all throughout the day. Also, for one of the best steaks around, check out the Country Cabin Restaurant, located at 879 Mary Batten Road in Pearson. They have the best steaks, chicken, and seafood around. They are open on Thursdays from 5 to 8:30 p.m. and Friday and Saturday from 5 to 9:30 p.m. Come out and see what it's all about.
Welcome back to the Behind the News podcast. Wonderful podcastians out there. It's a new one, podcasting.
Fancy word.
I like that one. I'm so fancy. Anyways, on the front page of the Clinch County News this week, Laura, and I just remembered this, that I didn't include it in my intro, but we had Mr. Ken Jones retire from First Baptist Church after a long time being there. And you had the privilege of writing the story. If you don't mind, just very briefly, you know, mention that story for us.
Sure. Ken Jones and his wife, Beth, came to Homerville in 1984, and he served at that time as youth and minister of music. And then also he was bivocational and taught elementary school or middle school science, and then moved on to be the media specialist. Anyway, Mr. Ken retired after 35 years of working for First Baptist Church. And so the church had a big celebration for him that included the mayor, Tom Kennedy, coming and proclaiming it Ken Jones Day. So August 25th in Homerville, Georgia is Ken Jones Day. And then we had a slideshow of his service and through the years. And we had speakers that were videoed. One of them was Governor Brian Kemp. Another was the Commissioner of Agriculture, Gary Black. Senator Perdue was one of the speakers. Congressman Carter. Anyway, just to make this a really special event, to let him know that he is so appreciated, has been so appreciated, not just to our church, First Baptist, shameless plug there, by the way, but not not just to our church, but to our community. Ken and Beth have given just incredible amounts of their time and energy to this community. Miss Beth retired from the health department, and now she serves as a substitute school nurse. She's on the hospital board. She's on the board of health. She helps with the CNA program at the high school. So they just do a lot for our community. So anyway, it was a great, great service. We had dinner on the grounds, which is always great to eat with a bunch of Baptists because we throw down. And so anyway, congratulations to Ken and Beth Jones on their retirement.
Yep, congrats. It was kind of surreal last night because, you know, me, I'm filling in at First Baptist now for Mr. Ken. And as I was going in last night, he was coming out and, like, he hugged me. And, like, he was fighting back tears. And
he's an emotional guy.
Yeah. Well, he thanked me and he said, you know, it's kind of surreal handing the reins over to one of my former students. And then it hit me, like, he's the one that got me started playing guitar 18, 19 years ago in that very church. And so it's kind of... It's an honor to be doing that. So congratulations, Mr. Ken, if you ever listen to this. Laura, it is an exciting time of the year for males and in the area. No, I'm not talking about hunting season. Football season has officially kicked off.
Yes.
In South Georgia and everywhere else because college football starts back this weekend. And some of our area teams had some big games this weekend. Clinch County defending state champion took the field against Hebron Christian. Friday night, Donald Tyson Field pulled out a 46-28 victory. They dominated all across the field. And other football-related news, Atkins County also got off to a great start. They hosted Montgomery County last week, and they beat them 34-7. They pretty well toasted them the first half and then let the B team come in and drag out the second half. And the only spot in the local teams, of course, Lanier County, they traveled to Lake Butler, Florida to take on the Union County Fighting Tigers. Yeah, it's fighting. That's how they have it. According to Keith Newbern's story, the Bulldogs and Tigers fought like cats and dogs all evening. Lakeland fell 19-7 in that game. So, you know, it was a good showing. Now, let's see. Clinch County is off this Friday night. ATCO travels to Nashville to play Berrien County at 7:30 Friday night. And Lanier actually hosts Montgomery County this Friday night in Lakeland at Rockmore Field at 7:30. So go by, check that out, support those guys. You know, they will love to have somebody come out and watch them. And I do want to brag just a second here, Laura.
Please
I know
do.
Lynn would brag if he was here. But yesterday, the middle school Clinch County Panthers, coached by myself, Joey Fitzgerald, Langston Hendricks, and Tyrone Tadpole Carter. We beat Brooks County yesterday, 8-0.
Congratulations.
They rolled us last year. I don't think we won a game last year. We beat them yesterday. I had to watch myself there, get my football jargon going. So shout out to all my middle school Panthers. If your parents are listening, go find one of them, tell them congratulations. Let's see. Laura, got a big story on the front page of the Lanier County Advocate about an arrest. Why don't you fill us in on that little bit of news?
The Sheriff's Department made an ecstasy and firearms arrest on August the 17th. It was about 2:30 in the morning, and the officer noticed a vehicle that was crossing over the Alapaha River, the bridge over there, and there was somebody hanging out of the back passenger side of the window of that vehicle. And the vehicle had stopped. Let me get this straight. Hold on. The guy was hanging out of the window. The officer stopped them to check on him to make sure there wasn't an emergency. And he could see another person on the opposite side of the vehicle who was either asleep or unconscious, and the deputy noticed that both of these guys had vomited on themselves. And a lady that was in the seat between them told the deputy that they were just drunk and sleeping it off. That they'd been to a club in Valdosta and they were on their way back to Douglas, and the officer immediately could smell raw marijuana. And so they removed the people from the car and searched the vehicle, and they found the marijuana. They found a handgun that was loaded with a round in the chamber and a scale that had that they used to measure drug weight. And then there were like two dozen homemade pills. And they think, and I cannot say the technical name for this, but it was like a methamphetamine derivative called MDMA.
Yeah.
And that's what they call ecstasy. So I can't say the technical term, but ecstasy was what it was, what they apprehended, you know, from the vehicle or whatever. And so anyway, two of the guys, one person was Taryn Bennett, 21 of Douglas. He was cited for having an open container of alcohol in the vehicle. Another one, Dwight Townsend, 21 of Douglas, was arrested for possession of marijuana, possession of MDMA with intent, and possession of a firearm during the commission of a crime. There were three other people in the vehicle. They were released without arrest.
Yep. Now, we also had a big arrest story in ATCO this week with, let's see, eight mug shots. There were all around about 13 people arrested, and these were the most usable mug shots. They weren't the best quality. But according to Atkinson County Sheriff David Moore, I don't know if people are aware of this or not, but it's palmetto berry season. I don't know if you call it season or not, but palmetto berries are starting to ripen up. Now, palmettos are everywhere in the woods here. They grow wild. Apparently, those berries are used for medicinal purposes. They make all kind of stuff with them. And I didn't know until like 2 years ago that this was actually a thing, but when they start coming in toward the end of the summer, people pick them, they go somewhere in Florida and sell them, and they pay really good money for them. Now, the problem is you got people picking these things on other people's land without their permission. Now, most of the time, like in big wooded areas, like Rainier land or something like that, they don't have anybody that polices all that land. So somebody could just go out and go pick, and they never know they were gone. Now, Pearson, the problem came in where they were doing that. And I'm not saying it's okay to do that, because it's still trespassing and stealing. Now, in Pearson, they had it was actually an Hispanic lady by the name of Glendy Pastor Gomez. She was kind of the crew boss or whatever, and some landowner saw him pull up with a van and drop several of these Hispanic gentlemen out, and they ran off in the woods with their buckets and everything and commenced to picking palmetto berries. So the sheriff was responded out on the 12th, the 13th, and the 16th. Around the same area. Now, there was one, I know when I talked to Sheriff David Moore, there was one guy in Waycross, like he was over it. When they got there, he took off running through the woods, and they never caught him, but they did impound his vehicle. And he's like, they're just waiting for him to come claim the vehicle so they can arrest him. Now, they charged all of these guys with trespassing. They charged them with theft. They charged them with possession of tools for the commission of a crime, because they had bags, buckets, clippers, gloves, other stuff like that to help them steal the berries or whatever. So go check out the Lanier County Advocate and the Atkinson County Citizen and read up on these arrest stories yourself, and you'll see what we're talking about.
Well, speaking of those palmetto berries, like, I had no clue that it was such a thing either. And we went to a county commissioner's meeting, and the local game warden came and talked with us about this being a problem that we, you know, especially around the Okefenokee, apparently they have a huge issue with people going on that property.
Because they're everywhere in the Okefenokee.
Right.
That's an untouched land. You know, around here, people mow between their pine tree rows, and they knock them down. Okefenokee is wide open.
And so when he was telling us the price per pound, and I wish I could remember what it was, but it was ridiculous.
It's definitely worth going out there picking them.
Right. I mean, if you have permission. That's the big thing, is you have to have permission for it. So it just kind of blew me away. I thought, this is something that is everywhere, and I can't believe that all of a sudden, you know, people are catching wind how much it costs to harvest these things and are taking on themselves to steal.
Yeah, and you know, and the dangerous thing about palmetto berries like that is rattlesnakes and a lot like to get up in the roots of those things and hide out, you know, from the sun or whatever. And here's another problem. If you're trespassing on land, especially like on a federal reserve like the Okefenokee Swamp, where those lands are pretty well untouched and they're not, you know, not maintained and thinned out and everything, you really run the risk of getting lost and not being found. So make sure, you know, if you're picking palmetto berries, make sure you have permission. If you see somebody doing it illegally, report it. Yes. Oh, before we get out of here, I want to brag on myself a little bit. I want to talk about the Ben and Blake's Excellent Adventure podcast. Lynn normally leads me into this, and I normally tell Laura to lead me into it when we're doing this, but I forgot to mention it. This week's Ben and Blake's Excellent Adventure podcast, we kind of nerd out, talk about the new Star Wars movie, we talk about new Marvel news, we talk about Dave Chappelle's stand-up on Netflix. Here's a disclaimer, don't watch that one around your kids. Or anybody,
or any other Dave Chappelle stand up.
Don't tell your pastor that you watched it. I'm kidding, but not really. But and we talked about several other entertainment news related items. And then we went into our top five misheard song lyrics or misquoted song lyrics. Had a lot of fun with that. We also had a big announcement. Ben and Blake's Excellent Adventure podcast now available on other outlets. We're available on Stitcher. We're available on Radio Now. You can get us on Google Podcasts. You can check us out on Spotify. And we're just waiting back for the okay from Apple Music to be on the iTunes Store.
Congratulations. So,
thank you. Thank you. It's been an adventure. We've enjoyed it. Now this week we're going to discuss our top five Saturday Night Live skits ever. Not actors. We're going to talk about the individual skits. So check it out. We'll put that out probably Tuesday evening. It'll be ready on all of those. Now, Laura, Lynn usually talks about his podcast. Or not his podcast, because this is his podcast. He normally talks about his column right here. Did you read it? Can you give us a brief
overview? Of
course
I read it, because I am the employee of the year.
You got a little something on your nose right there. You don't want to get that off.
I enjoy reading his articles. They're always really comical to me.
No, you missed it. It's still on there.
But anyway, this week he's talking about pocket calling, or what we, the people, were butt dialing. And how once, you know, the smartphones came in and we have this flat screen. This didn't happen to us when we had flip phones, but now that we have these, you know, smartphones and stuff, it happens all the time. And he's just mentioning about like, you know, some scenarios where that happened to him. He pocket dials me constantly, and I can never tell if he's meant to call me or what's going on. And then I call back and he's like, yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to call you, you know. But anyway, his whole article is about pocket call, aka butt dialing. So check it out. It's a pretty funny little read.
Yeah, Lynn's columns are always good reads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's pretty comical.
You didn't get that brown spot off your nose either.
I'm not being a brown noser. I read it long before I ever worked for him. But his take on things, he looks outside of the box. It's funny.
Alrighty. Well, that has been this week's edition of the Behind the News podcast. I want to thank Laura Nipper for coming and helping me out today while Lynn's out. No, we want to thank our sponsors before we get out of here. That is Lutz Brown Pigler and Manly Insurance Agency here in Homerville, Roberts Midland Company in Pearson, the Shack Cafe in Pearson, and the Country Cabin Restaurant in Pearson or in Atkinson County. So go by and check those people out. Thank them for supporting it. Tell you heard about it here. And tell them how much you appreciate the Behind the News podcast. So until next week, this is Blake Pittman for Laura Nipper and Lynn Robbins saying, we'll see you later.